We are coming on this Father's Day to the last few verses of Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. You know, it's amazing the providence of God. Jacob mentioned to me just last week that he wanted to do this this morning because this is their 12th anniversary. And I believe it was 3 weeks ago today that Luke and Kelly had their anniversary. I'm sorry, Luke and Hannah. Yeah, right. Who are these kids anyway? Okay, Luke and Hannah celebrated their anniversary and consecrated their latest little Jedediah to the Lord. So we're going to consider today this very momentous subject that is given to us at the end of Mark chapter 8. Discipleship is absolutely essential. So we're going to read God's word here, beginning at verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he, that is Jesus, had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless these final words of this 8th chapter to our spiritual good today for Jesus' sake. Our Lord Jesus, on this excursion to Caesarea Philippi, was doing a necessary preparatory work in his apostles. As they approached the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the apostles about his own identity. What people said of him? Well, people speculated that Jesus was one of many of the great heroes. But Peter openly proclaimed the deity, the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So having that fact established in the minds of his own apostles, the Lord then went to the matter of his suffering. It was time to speak to them about his coming suffering. The shame and all of the things that would be done to him. And then that naturally led to another subject, to the suffering and the death of the apostles, what they would face. And I want to point out that it is at this third point in our Savior's preparation of his apostles, it is at this third step that we Christian believers find ourselves this very day. Our great difficulty is set before us in these final verses of Mark chapter 8. Discipleship is absolutely essential, but it is a type of death for each disciple. Christ explains it so thoroughly in these verses. For those who profess to be Christians, our Savior's message in these final five verses of Mark chapter 8 is one of the most important messages that you will ever hear in your entire life. And for these words, you must give account to God and what you do with these words. Discipleship is absolutely essential. So I want to point out three things I have endeavored with these five verses to try to bring the message into a nutshell. And so we have three thoughts here that I believe are expressed in these five verses. First of all, there is an experience that is demanded. An experience demanded. Secondly, there is election demonstrated. And third, there is the evangel declared. So first of all, experience demanded. Notice verse 34. Jesus says here, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, where is the absolute necessity of this? Look at verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So I would point out here that discipleship is absolutely essential because the Lord speaks of it as a matter of saving the life or losing the life. The one that desires to follow Christ must deny himself. Verse 34 makes clear, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Now that's put in a very nice way. It's almost put into subjunctive like it's something you could do or not do. Well, actually, it is in the imperative. It is a clear command from God that denying self is an absolute essential for those who are God's true children. Self-denial means that a person cannot follow Christ and serve self at the same time. It is a real renouncing of self that Christ is speaking of. The words of our Lord are plain and unmistakable. So ask yourself right now, and please, for your own sake, answer honestly. Does your Christianity cost you anything? Is your Christianity costing you anything? What are you denying yourself? This is explained in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What does it mean to save your life? It means to hold on to your life tenaciously and not to give over the reins of your life to anyone else, but to hold it for yourself. If you hold on to your life, if you run your life, if you make all your decisions on your own, then you will lose your life, your soul, for all eternity. It's the word psuche, the life or soul. You will lose your soul for all eternity if you maintain control of your life. Now, to save your life here means to retain or to keep the control of your life to yourself, to make your own decisions, to make your own plans, and to do your own desires. Wow. The experience that is demanded is first, self-denial. Secondly, it is self-crucifixion. Notice verse 34. He says, whosoever will come after me, he must deny himself, is the force of the original, and take up his cross. It means to take up and carry that cross. Dying to self is demanded.
We have to die to ourselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. What did he mean? He means that rather than living unto himself, he was living unto God, desiring God's will, submitting daily to Him rather than doing his own will. Finding my pleasure in His pleasure, pleasing Him, rather than running after the world and its toys. It is an honest effort to use all and to do all for His glory. I said, finding our pleasure in His pleasure. What is the Lord's pleasure? He tells us in that Old Testament portion, Isaiah 53, about His pleasure. It pleased the Lord to bruise His Son for us. And the pleasure of the Lord prospers in the hand of Christ. Praise God that it was His pleasure to suffer for us. And we are to live our lives taking pleasure in His pleasure. So the experience demanded by Christ is not only self-denial and self-crucifixion, but also self-discipline. Notice here in verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Following Christ means to be a disciple. And you see that word disciple? That word means to be disciplined. We are to be as Christ's soldiers. We must discipline ourselves to daily fight and do battle against the lust of the flesh, the wiles of the devil, and the wooing of an ungodly world. This is real mortification. Colossians 3:5. Mortify. That is, put to death in yourself fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections. Affections that are out of order is what that means. Evil concupiscence, that is overflowing lust. And covetousness, which is idolatry. What is covetousness? It is, gimme, 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 gimme. I gotta have it. I gotta have it all for myself. The Lord calls that idolatry. Discipleship, self-discipline, means not only mortification, it means sanctification. It means growing in holiness and likeness to Jesus Christ, following His footprints, being a true disciple. Now, you Greek students, many of you know that the word is mathetes. And I always am careful to point out that your favorite subject in school, the one that you always enjoyed most through all the years of your education, was of course the first part of the name of disciple, the word math. We get our word math from this word, meaning it is a discipline. It is that which you must study. It is that which you must apply yourself to. That's why we loved it so much, right? We all wanted to be math majors in college because we love math so much. And it is applying yourself. When the Lord speaks about discipline, being a disciple, He uses that term. It is to apply ourselves to grow in grace. And we must apply ourselves. So that's the first point. An experience that the Lord demands. It's not an option. Well, we move on now from the experience demanded to election demonstrated. Let's read verse 35 again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now this is quite obvious. Who in the world is going to give up the reins of his life? Who in the world is going to give up seeking all that he can get out of this world and that to be his chief ambition? Who is going to be willing to die to all these things? I say, only those who are truly the chosen of God, the elect of God. Salvation is all of grace from beginning to end. It is offered freely to the chief of sinners without money and without price. Ephesians 2:8-9 is clear and true. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But all who accept this great salvation must prove the reality of their faith by carrying the cross after Christ. Real Christianity includes suffering. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. It may be persecution. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now I tell you, it is only a truly elect soul that will die, that will give up gaining the whole world. Election brings effectual calling and justification, but it also brings perseverance in grace with it. God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God doing that work in us. Well, you may say this morning, oh, Pastor, you've got to be kidding. I called on Jesus. I've been baptized. But I can't suffer. I want an easy life in my lounge chair in the shade, sipping lemonade. I can't get into this rigor of a disciplined, self-denying life. No. Well, that's what the majority of typical American evangelicals say today. I'll take the salvation. You know, there's one of those men that was in the resistance against Hitler who understood the cost of discipleship. So many of them did. We have sermons by Niemöller and others in our church library. You know, one of those men who died, his name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. It cost him his life. I want you to listen. I'm going to quote just a little bit of what he said from that book. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow upon ourselves. Preaching forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Cheap grace without discipleship. Real grace is costly. Grace in the gospel. Costly because it cost Christ His life, His blood, His suffering, everything. It is costly, again, because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. What a statement. I say here that election is demonstrated because only a true child of God, born of the Holy Spirit and washed in Christ's blood, is willing to deny self, is willing to take up a life of suffering and to follow in the footsteps of the Holy Savior. Remember Peter's words. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. I say that only an elect soul has truly learned how Christ loves us. And only an elect soul loves Christ and really lives a life of a loving relationship with Him because we have truly known His love. Now, we must go on. Why on earth would I want to walk in His footsteps? Because He loved me and gave himself for me. So we come from experience demanded, election demonstrated, to the evangel declared. Notice verse 38. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Only those who have given the control of their will and their life into Christ's hands will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They alone take their stand with Christ, bearing his reproach before the ungodly world. They unashamedly confess his name. They declare his evangel, that is his gospel. The glorious gospel they declare, even in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. Rather than going with the flow of the ungodly world, true Christians are glad to belong to Christ. True Christians are glad to testify of him in the midst of the chaotic corruption. Now, we love him because he first loved us. It is from a heart of love for Christ that we desire to obey him and follow him. And you know, some people say when a young man or a young woman give themselves to missionary service in some remote part of the world that they have thrown their life away. They've lost their life. They've thrown it away. Or rather, reality is to be seen from God's eternal perspective. They have actually entered the ranks of the heroes and the heroines of the faith. They are not ashamed to own their Lord, nor to defend his cause. And you know, the coming judgment day will reveal who are the real fools. Who are the real fools? They are those that live only for the short, fading joys of this dying age. What a vain and cheap way to waste your life, living for self and for sin, and then to reap the horrible harvest of a miserable eternity on top of that. You need to carefully weigh these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. These words at the end of Mark's Gospel chapter 8 are some of the most important words of the Scripture you will ever read. Here is heavenly wisdom. Man's wisdom rejects the cross, looking on it as nothing but a total loss. God's wisdom teaches us to embrace the suffering involved in living for Christ. Moses is a great example of that. We need, like Moses, to fix our eyes on the coming recompense and great reward for the righteous. As we come to the close of this meeting, remember that your soul salvation ought to be your supreme and highest concern. Only those who truly believe on Christ to the saving of the soul are willing to forego so much of this world's sin and empty pleasures. We do not become Christ's disciples in order to earn our salvation. Rather, because we are born of God, we look on the Lord and we love Him as our highest treasure. And we live for His glory, because we love the very lover of our souls. During the California gold rush in the 19th century, many of the gold miners who had gotten rich in California were headed home with their treasures. And they were on a ship that was going up the Mississippi River. The captain of that ship was not aware that another ship was sunken in the river not far from where they were. That ship, that wreckage of that ship was not far below the surface of the water, especially at that time of the year when there was not as much rain. As the ship was moving up the river, it did strike that wreckage. A huge hole was opened in the steamship's hull, and water rushed in, rapidly filling the vessel. The scene on the deck was total panic and chaos. People were lowering lifeboats and taking off without getting the lifeboats nearly full and going toward the banks of the river. Many, many of the people were still left on the deck of the ship after the lifeboats had gone. And most of them managed to find boards and other things that would float that they could hold on to and jump into the deep water and make for the bank. Well, when all of them, it seemed, had finally managed to get away safely, they looked back at the sinking vessel and they noticed one last traveler who was preparing a wooden flotation device, getting ready to jump in. Instantly plunging into the river, to their horror, he and his flotation device sank like a stone to the bottom. Later, with some strong hooks, they were trying to find out what had happened. Several of the men were able to hoist up the drowned man from the bottom. He was extremely heavy. When his body finally broke the surface of the water, they discovered that he was loaded down with bags of gold. He had spent his last few minutes on that ship going through the possessions of the miners, stealing their stuff and tying those bags around his waist. And they caused him to sink like a hunk of lead. And you know, many people are just like that poor fool who was obsessed with lust for this world's possessions and pleasures. There are so many people like that with no desire for God, no desire for obeying Him. If they only knew the saving love of Christ, it is that love that would enable them to love Him in return and to live following in His steps. I wonder today, do you know Christ in such a way that love motivates you to follow in His steps? Let us pray together. Oh God, we do thank Thee in Jesus' name for the searching nature of Thy Word. We have come to this very difficult portion. And Lord, it points right at our heart, right where we are, right where we live. Are we willing to hold Christ to be our highest treasure? Are we willing to obey and to follow our Lord, no matter what the cost? So, Lord, we pray that Thou would impress Thy truth upon us in an indelible way, that we would not run from it, but that we would profit from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.